Gavrilik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh, boy, wow, wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Hello and welcome back to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. And Robbo, last Tuesday night, you said this on AFL 360.
And what's happening right now? I don't think Richmond can win the flag this year.
That was pretty good production.
Yeah, sorry.
By you?
The Tigers came out and just smoked the Western Bulldogs in the
good
second
word,
half.
Dad.
You also poked the bear with Tom Lynch, who came out and played one of his better games for Richmond. I've got to say that that was in the top three Richmond wins home and away in this golden era.
Would you really? That high?
Oh, easily. I mean, they were gone.
What was the other one? Port Adelaide,
Port Adelaide away.
Yeah.
When they had a lot of guys out, injuries.
And then take your pick from another 100.
And then take your pick from another. But the atmosphere at the G
was
electric. And I imagine from your lounge room as well, you were thinking, wow.
No, I was at the game.
Oh, you're at the game,
I was at the game.
Whereabouts were you sitting?
With some friends. In the outer. You miss the outer.
Oh, yeah, you do.
We're very privileged to do what we do, but geez, you miss the outer.
I'm not sure about the light beer. Why can't they have heavy beer? Seriously, it's a 2-hour event.
Let's just stick to footy.
Well, that is footy.
Yeah, no, that's true. It was an amazing game. To think that 18 can go against 18 and just change the momentum like that. I'll say it again, they're the best pressure team I've ever seen. Mm. They are unbelievable,
and
their pressure. Their system is based on it.
You thought that pressure might...
Yes.
That appetite. Had,
yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So now have you...
Oh, they're absolutely right in it. You know, they're probably flag favourites. I don't know what the money is. I don't really look at that
sort
of stuff.
They are outright, but as you said, it's probably just weight of money from pre-season.
I thought the challenges are pretty solid this year, and the Dogs will learn from what happened on the weekend. There's a lot of things to learn about. One of them is players standing up when the pressure comes, but that's every team has to deal with that. They're an incredible team.
But 16-0 inside 50s in that third quarter for the most vaunted midfield in the comp, the Bulldogs. It was a shellacking.
And Tom Lynch. Yeah, I wrote about Tom Lynch last week. I called him, you know, he's getting paid $800,000. He's playing average football and he's not getting paid to play average football. And he was enormous. And he came on 3RW on Sunday. I don't know if you're listening.
Yeah, I was. He was driving to the market.
He was driving to the market to pick up the wife or the girlfriend. He doesn't get out of the car. He doesn't want to get mobbed in the market. But he admitted he wasn't playing great football.
Yeah, no, of course.
And it's just a great discussion of when... When someone performs like that, is it mental or is it mechanically? You know, did Richmond make adjustments to give him more space, or did Tom Lynch take it upon himself to really impose himself on the game?
And there was numerous times where Riewoldt was sort of, he'd pretend to go up and then he'd get out. Like they play very well together, those two. They've got great chemistry. 2 years, two premierships. Jack sacrifices his game far more than...
You know, he's one of the most unselfish players, and so is Dustin.
And he used to be, well, he's probably a bit harsh, but...
He used to be self-centred. Self-centred.
Yeah.
Jack. Oh, yeah, they were just...
I remember Hardwick said he kicks too many goals, and I was like, are you serious?
Hardwick on Riewoldt. Jack.
We don't want him kicking 80, you'd say.
Yeah, that was a back page lead about 6 years ago, I reckon. And maybe longer.
Yeah,
maybe
probably longer.
Yeah, maybe longer.
And
I remember talking to Mike Sheen about it, actually.
Yeah, what did he say?
He says, isn't that crazy? You got this gun full forward,
yeah.
And the coach doesn't want him to kick goals.
Yeah.
It was around about the same time that Alistair Clarkson pushed Lance Franklin out of full forward.
But what a coach.
Play him high up the ground because they don't want to get the grand final.
They don't
want
to be predictable. Did you watch that footage I sent you? I asked you to watch Hardwick and Hinkley mic'd up.
Absolutely.
In the last quarter of the prelim last year. And it was incredible, wasn't it?
It was footy porn then.
It's footy porn.
Never mind. To have that access.
The knowledge.
To have that access.
Yeah.
And coaches talking about strategy, but wanting to close up the ground. It was, to listen to Damien Hardwick, it's...
And Hinkley, he was very, very impressive as well. They both...
What did you like the most out of it?
What I like is how crucial coaching is now, maybe more than ever. I know Lee Matthews, or he often says coaching's overrated. You either got the cattle or you don't. And he obviously made moves. Remember the famous Acker Manus front and centre?
Tell Acker to get to the front.
Bang, goal. But Hardwick's coaching, even in that Bulldogs game, Liam Baker, put him forward, take the kids
He's
out.
He's not afraid, is he, to make...
Of the centre, put Pickett moves. And Edwards in. We need to be stronger in there. And he transformed that game with coaching as well as the effort. Whereas I watched Collingwood against the Gold Coast, and they didn't do anything. They didn't make a move, did they?
Now, not off the top of my head. There are different stages, aren't they? The commentaries have been about the uncontested mark of the marks that most uncontested marks that Gold Coast took.
Mm.
Now, I was at the game and I had to do something, but I stayed and watched the first quarter with Glenn McFarlane. And I were watching and nothing was happening, mate. Oh, God almighty, how are you going to sit through this for the rest of the day? Did you leave your phone on?
Sorry.
Bit wet behind the ears, aren't you? I left. And then I watched the second half when I got home. And I still was impressed with what I saw.
You still think that Moore should be playing at full forward?
No, I don't. But I admire Nathan Buckley for doing something. You're just talking about then, you know, what changes were made.
Pre-game, yeah.
Yeah, Nathan Buckley and his coaching staff, they had to do something. So they tried something. And if it hasn't worked, that's okay. At least you've tried to do something to fix, correct, improve your team. So I have no problem with Darcy Moore going forward. If he kicked 5 and 5, everyone would say, God, how great's this? So now we're saying he's got to go back. Maybe he will go back.
Oh, he has to.
Maybe they've got to look for key forwards, which they've been looking for a long, 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 long time. The Pies. But where do you see the Collingwood situation right now?
Well, I looked at that crowd, the second lowest crowd since 1988. For Collingwood, you know, they did that massive deal at the MCG. And if 1988. 1988 is the second lowest crowd Collingwood's ever had. I think the lowest one was against Fremantle and it was about -4 degrees on a Friday night. And the fans have had a gutful. They're not turning up. Dwayne Russell said after the game it was the biggest win in Gold Coast history. And I sort of scoffed at that. And then I thought about it and I thought, geez, what does that tell you about Gold Coast that they've beaten?
No. They've played 14 games at the MCG. They come down and take on, what?
17th place.
Yeah, no. But still the might of Collingwood. No, playing at home.
He might be right.
It was a really significant win.
It was. But that tells you how poor the previous 11 years have been. But that's Gold Coast. They allow Collingwood.
What about
when
Carmichael Hunt kicked the winner against Richmond up there?
Well, that was the worst 47 seconds
in the history of the game, according to
Roosie.
That was great commentary. Where's Nathan Buckley?
Well, I think he's gone. I think he's finished. Unfortunately, I know that there are many saying that they should give him a contract, but if his name was Bob Smith, he would be gone already, I think. And I've changed my mind because I said to you 3 weeks ago, we've gone too soon, but they were just listless. And is it right that there was 14 players in that team who played in the 2018 Premiership? I'd have to check that, but there's still a Premiership Grand Final. I know they've lost some players, but...
But when you play so effort. Many... Yeah, but when you play... With the kids, mate, can you remember when you played...
Well, I watched the Essendon kids. I watched the Essendon kids on the weekend. They were magnificent.
Yeah, that's true. But a lot of kids running around wondering where the next breath of air is coming from, let alone pressuring and running and transition running, et cetera, et cetera. But the game plan might not have helped. It's so curious what's happening at Collingwood.
Well, what's your...
My belief is if they think he's the man to coach them on next year, and the way Graham Wright spoke on the weekend, he's a supporter. If he's making the recommendation or part of the recommendation, if they believe he's the right man to go forward, reappoint him now. So, right, this is what we're doing. We're rebuilding and Buckley's going to help rebuild this team.
I'm just not sure how they can think that he's the right man to coach them.
But they know if he can coach or not. They're saying their mate Mark Corder said
Lee Matthews could coach. His time expired.
Yeah, Mark, that's true. But Mark Corder said he hopes he wants to coach next year. So the noise from Collingwood seems to be supporting Buckley. Okay.
Yep.
But I still wonder. But Buckley said last week, "I want to coach next year." And I take him.
That was weird.
Yeah, I'd take him on face value. He wants to coach next year. Maybe that'll change. But if they want to reappoint him, reappoint him. If they don't want to reappoint, it makes me wonder that they've put it back to the round 15, round 16, that not everyone at the club on the board wants to reappoint Buckley.
What if they lose to North Melbourne? Does he coach the following week after that?
That'll be up to Nathan Buckley.
So he'd resign.
Would he work?
Well,
that's a big question, and we don't know the answer to that. Do you? Oh, hang on.
But he can't coach forever. I know that. Like, it's just, to me, it's obvious that his time is finished at Collingwood. And I wasn't of that view 3 weeks ago. But just the way that Gold Coast were able to walk past them, I thought, nah, I think
when
it's
you
time
lose
for
spirit,
a change.
When you lose spirit, like they got lost spirit at the moment, I said this last night, so I'm going to repeat myself. Take Buckley's name out of it and take Collingwood's name out of it. We have seen this before. You know, reports of player unrest, losing belief, lacking spirit. You know, not fractured playing list, but certainly a hurt playing list of what happened over the summer. The result is one thing. The coach goes. It's happened. Just go through the last 20, 30 years. Very rarely does a person whose contract year after 10, if ever, survive a 1-6 start.
Yep. I remember McAllister said Lee Matthews he'd have the job forever at Collingwood, but in the end, it always goes sour. I mean,
it doesn't go sour. They just doesn't perform. Okay.
Yeah, and it's time for a change. If they spent as much energy, the club, on they did on the prison bar thing,
Did the club?
Well, they got involved.
Eddie McGuire did.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, he still looms large over Collingwood anyway. It's interesting. I was saying he will always be the loudest voice at Collingwood while he's in the media.
Yeah, he will be.
That's a problem for them.
Like last week on Footy Classified, he got Mark Corder to send a press statement through to his program.
Yeah.
He's telling Mark Corder, send me an official position from Collingwood, please. And the president goes, yep, no worries. I'll do that. He's still president?
Quasi-president. He'll always be the special envoy. Degoe, you wrote an interesting column about him. I can see Degoe burning Collingwood big time at another club.
I can see Degoe out of that club at the end of this year. Absolutely. I can see
and
that.
And then
I can
playing good footy.
Maybe. It's just interesting. Why? What has happened to Jordan Degoe? What has happened? Is it him? Is it being played out of position, in position? He can't complain. He's playing a 70-30 split midfield forward. Is he getting the space to do what he wants to do? Maybe not. They've got big cocks sitting in the holes a lot.
Or was he just overrated?
Maybe he's just overrated.
Not overrated, but...
Now, when you see what a guy can do...
Yeah, that grand final, for example.
Oh, yeah, he had that wonderful final series.
47 goals that year.
You know, he taught Collingwood, Richmond 1 year, round two with 5 goals. Carlton this year. We see what he can do. So is he overrated? No. But he doesn't perform on at a consistent level. He signed a massive contract. I wonder how's the relationship between Buckley and Degoe.
Mm.
And I sort of touched on this on Saturday. Can Buckley get the best out of Degoe? Does Degoe want to give his best? Is Degoe sooking? You know,
he's not the Lone Ranger.
Yeah, I just wonder if
Collingwood
might trade him for draft picks. They need draft picks. But then again, someone has to pick up their contract, his contract, and give up draft picks for him. What's he worth?
I think it's more likely that a new coach picks him up at Collingwood and says right and picks up the whole lot and says, all right, guys. You know, and that brings me to Ross Lyon.
Hang on for a second. Say that Buckley went, a new coach came in and Degoe turns into the player that everyone thought he was going to be. Does that say more about Degoe or the Degoe-Buckley relationship?
I just think it means that the club's ready for a change. Because Degoe's not the only one that's down. I mean, they were all...
Who else?
Everyone was down on the weekend.
Not Big Brody.
Yeah, but I mean,
I would trade Steel Sidebottom.
Would you?
Yeah, I said.
I reckon that'd rip the soul out. I think
the soul's already been ripped out.
You can rip even more out. You don't get rid of your champions like that.
So Hawthorn got rid of
bad mistake. Hawthorn.
Steve Johnson, Paul Chapman, Geelong
didn't work. Just let them retire with dignity.
But it's hard, mate, because they got to rebuild their list.
There's an onus on the player as well.
Yeah, there's no more accurate time to describe footy as a business than when it comes to trade period. That's when it's a business.
Yeah. I can't see Trent Cotchin playing for another club. All right.
I wrote that piece a couple of weeks ago. What will Richmond do? And we had the discussion about it, remember, Chief? Yeah. What will champ. Richmond do? I said Chief. He wouldn't call you champ. Chief. Yeah, it's just interesting. Well, how do they rebuild their list?
Collingwood? Well, I think they start... The fresh voice changes everything.
Yeah, but they need talent as well.
They've got talent. They've got all those kids.
No, but the kids were drafted, mate.
You know what they need?
Between 20 and 50.
Collingwood needs a new coach and a new board. And they should get them all by round one next year. And they'll be back, the Pies.
In about 2025.
No, I think they can be a good team in 2.5 years.
Winning in the premiership window?
Why not?
In 2.5 years?
Why not? They got kids. We'll find out how good they are.
See, as you're taping me, the things that I say on TV, I just might remember tape that and play that to you in 2.5 years.
2.5 years is a long time in footy.
It's a long time of keeping this podcast going.
I think we'll be gone. But Ross Lyon is being touted
touted.
And he's probably, you know, being political. There's a few comments I saw, which didn't he say, don't completely rule me out to Nick Riewoldt?
Rui said that as a joke. He said that.
Oh, was that a joke, was it?
He said it on Saturday night. But you know what? The best jokes have always got a hint of truth.
Can you see Ross coaching Collingwood?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you think you would? I mean, he left Fremantle in that was a toxic club, Fremantle, when he left. It would be I wouldn't appoint Ross Lyon at Collingwood.
Why?
Because I just don't think that he was a successful coach.
Any other reason?
No, he's not the sort of person that I would get at Collingwood. I can see how, I can definitely see Ross Lyon going in and having a quick fix for a club and getting, he gets a lot out of playing groups, doesn't he, early?
Yep.
But I just...
No, not necessarily.
See, well, he went to Fremantle and he got them to a grand final.
Yeah,
he took Grant Thomas's team and got them into a grand final. I think Tomo would have got them there anyway,
First year. He struggled the first year,
who?
Ross.
Yeah.
First year at St Kilda.
But
I think Ross Lyon's a really, really good coach.
So you'd go Ross?
I would go Ross. What he can do... And he would evolve as a coach. Everyone said he was too dour, and he'll back that up and say, well, you know, they average 100 points at St Kilda. Is he too negative or, you know, too defensive? Evolve.
Defence is the basis.
Yeah, it is. So he might evolve. I tell you what he can do. He has got the power to get the team to play the style that he wants to play.
Yes.
Right. And gathering a group of people and players, whatever your system is, to get them to do that consistently, that's a tick. Maybe he'll evolve and bring in. I think.
Well, you know him. Does he want a coach?
I spoke to him last week about another issue, and we're just chewing the fat about footy. And it was getting right to the end of our conversations. You know, when conversations just start dawdling out, and I was getting to one of those stages. I said, so, coach you next year. He said, goodbye, and hung up. Right? But it was not avoiding the question. It was just...
He said he didn't understand the narrative around Buckley too, which I thought was just bizarre. I mean, how could you not understand the narrative?
You think he's the biggest coach in the land...
I know what you're saying. It's a reverse psychology.
Yeah, do you think he's distancing himself from the hottest ticket in town?
It crossed my mind.
Yeah, it crossed my mind. And you know what? If he is, a big if, because, you know, I'll take him on face value. He doesn't understand the narrative. That's fine.
Do you understand the narrative?
Yeah, I look at it differently than Ross. Ross has been accused in the past, right, of... not jumping on graves, but you know, you take over from Grant Thomas. Then Harvey gets sacked and you take over at Fremantle. But it sort of, unfortunately for him, you come in, you're sworn in and you take over and you make the team better, et cetera, et cetera. He's got nothing to gain by saying right now, I think Nathan Buckley is in trouble.
Yeah.
Why would he say that?
Well, if he wants the job.
No, of course not. Well, there'd be back page of both newspapers, it'd lead TVs and radios. He doesn't have to say anything like that. He'll just sit back. And if the job comes up, you know what? Collingwood should talk to him. Absolutely they should. And find out his interests.
Has he got a manager? Well, we know what. No, of course, I don't. He was managed by Craig Kelly, of course.
And that fell apart because of the Mark Harvey situation, because Craig Kelly managed both. I don't think Ross has got a manager.
No.
I think he's got to a stage in his life that he's. And he's working in real estate a little bit now.
Right.
As well.
We might bring Soss with him. Might get Soss to Collingwood as well.
Imagine that.
Whatever happens, though, Collingwood is a club that needs change.
Could you imagine that?
Well, he's best mates with Soss, isn't he? So.
Yeah, of course he is. And they were at St Kilda together. Soss is too good to be out of the system.
He'll be back. And we'll be back after this break. Well, welcome back. And Robbo, you wrote a very strong piece about Paddy McCartan, who we know is trying to make a comeback to footy with all his concussions. And so it was shocking, really, to see, of all people, Paddy McCartan caught in a... I think you described it as a king hit on a...
You can't have front on king hits, mate, if the other person's not expecting you to hit him. You're playing football. We're not boxing here. What was your gut reaction when you thought... he's appearing at the tribunal on Tuesday night.
I tried to hope that it was like what happened with Gaff. But I thought Gaff tried to punch Brayshaw chest. In the chest. And he just clocked him in the jaw. And I thought that's maybe what McCartan had done.
Yeah.
And unfortunately... He got him in the jaw and he's got to wear the consequences.
The first punch was waist height because he was trying to sort of hit his hand. And the second time when the defender, Aaron Blake, was like touch and feel, as defenders do 1,000 times a game, he turned around and just clocked him in the face. So clearly, Paddy McCartan has to look internally at what's going on with himself. To do something like that.
So you're ruling out the mistake, like the try to punch him in the chest?
No, of course I'm ruling that out. Right. Yeah. That's my opinion.
I'm not.
But that's my opinion.
But you reckon he snapped? And just,
His impulse took him to a place, which we've never seen with Paddy McCartan before. And when people say it's out of character, I agree with that.
Well, can I say on that, concussions, a history of concussions. Now, he says there's nothing wrong with him. But, because I think it was a mistake, but people do... with multiple head knocks behave in different ways.
Yeah,
that's a first sign of.
And if that's going to be a reaction to something so trivial like that, he's got to seriously consider whether.
But you got to give him some benefit of the doubt, don't you?
What for?
Like I said, he didn't mean to punch him in the head.
I disagree with you. How can you argue that?
I just did.
You're hoping. You're hoping McCartan says.
Yes, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. Because I've never seen him be a thug player.
It was a thug act.
It wasn't.
Then what stands out with that? I want to ask you this question. Why is it, mate, why is it that people can punch people on the footy field, right? And if that happened 20 metres over the fence, if Paddy McCartan was standing next to Aaron Black in the grandstand and there was a push and shove and he went bang and dropped him, why... isn't players taken to court or charged with assault?
They sometimes are.
I know of two people who have been charged. One was Lee Matthews.
Yep.
On Neville Bruns, and I won't go into the other one because I haven't got that person's permission. I don't know if he wants me to bring it up.
In the AFL, was it?
No, the suburban league.
Right. Yeah. Oh, look.
It's a country league.
A lot of that hinges on the damage to the person, I would assume. Guy Black played out the game, didn't he?
Yeah, but he punched him in the face. That's common assault, isn't it?
In the street, yeah.
So do you know why?
Do you think it should be a criminal offence, do you?
What if Aaron Black got up and said, I want him charged?
Well, he probably could if he wanted to.
So Brent Staker on Barry Hall. Could Brent Staker have said, I want him charged?
Yeah, he could have.
But no one does that. It's the white boundary line, sort of, we throw out all the rules, the laws of, not all of them, we throw out a lot of laws of the land and leave it to the laws of footy.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Well, you'd have a lot of courts clogged up if you,
imagine that. Were you caught in a lot of violence when you played 200 magnificent games for Old Peninsula?
I got suspended once for striking, which I'm not proud of, but I played in the VAFA. It wasn't a overly violent league, but you played.
No, I played at the VAFA. I agree with you. I went from the Diamond Valley, which was TV ringside, to the VAFA.
TV ringside. Diamond Valley had a reputation. I know when I was a kid, you played in the Diamond Valley. Oh, gee, you must be a tough player.
I played there for 4 years. I played for West
Preston. How tough was the Diamond Valley?
You knew you were going to have a fight. Every game. Well, there's a potential to have a fight every game. God, there was some...
it's not tough, is it?
No, it's dirty. It was dirty.
You don't want
dirty
that.
Comp.
It's not like that anymore, I'm sure. The footy's been cleaned up
and that's why
so
the,
much.
That's why the McCartan incident really was a shock value for everyone who has seen the video.
Mm.
We played... West played Reservoir at Reservoir one day. And there was a cop car there when the game started. And at half time, it got a bit willing just before half time. There was a bit of a brawl. Punches were getting thrown. And the West crowd was up one end of the grandstand. And the Reservoir crowd was up the other. And it was the middle of winter, you know, people shivering, holding cans and all that sort of stuff. And smoking darts and whatever. And we were walking off the ground, Mick.
Yeah. And after the game?
At half time. Right. So we're going towards our race, which is just a little gate in the fence. And they were walking towards their home rooms. Their ruckman stopped, took off his footy boots and ran up our race through the gate and started punching on with West Preston supporters, which drew supporters from Reservoir who were standing at their race to charge in and start having a massive all-in brawl, and the players went inside. And in the old days, they had a partition between the rooms, you know, those slide-along partitions. Oh, I can still remember sitting there, Reservoir, we're belting on it, we're going to care, we're going to smash you.
See,
we come out after half-time, and there were 7 cop cars there. 7 cop cars.
Yeah, you know what I think of when I hear that? It's about kids. Kids are in the outer with their mum and dad, and they're seeing these dickheads behaving like that, and you just think that is just the worst example for those kids.
That was mid-90s.
It still happens every now and then, you know, that sort of behaviour, and people lose their mind at the footy, I get that, but McCartan, he'll get 5 or 6, which will probably potentially end his AFL dreams.
Yeah.
It's a big price to pay.
Because Barry Hall got 8.
Yes.
Barry got 8, but he knocked Baker into the stratosphere.
Staker,
into the stratosphere. Oh, no, he's looking at minimum 5-6, isn't he?
Yeah, which means his chances are getting picked up in the pre-season.
Well, I think if you were say you were a recruiting officer for Richmond, Mick.
Yes.
And they said, go and talk to Paddy McCartan.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't talk to him because of his head injury history. I just think
you'd say, no, we're not going anywhere near him because of his concussion.
Yeah.
Put that aside. Would you go and talk to him? What would you ask him about this incident? Why? What's the impulse that's going through your head? Are you a frustrated 25-year-old who's trying to get back and playing? Your dreams disappearing? Is there carry-on effects, as you spoke about before, to the concussion?
Yeah, I'm going to cut him some slack, but I'm not going to recruit him.
Okie doke, cut him some slack. Oh, well, everyone forgives.
No, but...
But no one ever thinks about Aaron Black.
Well, Aaron Black's playing... He's all right. He hasn't got... He's not eating through a straw or anything.
No wonder you got reported. You're just a callous bastard. You're callous.
I've given him the benefit of the doubt.
You side with the striker.
Okay. Now, Frank Costa was a giant of the Geelong Football Club. You knew him pretty well, better than I did. Although I've got a funny little Frank story, but...
tell us a funny little Frank story.
Well, I was new to footy, replacing Damien Barrett, He went to work for Hutchie, and I came over from General News.
You bring
to
up
footy.
Barrett.
Do you remember
every
that?
Week, don't you? Every week you bring up Barrett. You started with Maguire.
He's always potting us, so he's front of mind a lot. Anyway, so I came over to replace Barrett, and someone had suggested to me that Cotton On was going to try and fund Gary Ablett,
pay some players.
No, Gary Ablett to keep him from the Gold Coast.
I remember that.
I rang Frank and said, "Oh, you know, Mick Warner," and he goes, "We're going to do that, you know, and we're going to that'll be huge, you know, because they're a great sponsor of the club." And
you're not allowed to do that.
And I remember he put it on the back page, and Liam Pickering's ringing me, "What's Frank gone and done?" You know, he was his manager, and but that was Frank. He just he called it as he saw it, and he didn't. There was no bullshit with him, was there?
So you cost Gary Ablett.
Oh, maybe. I think the AFL money, Geelong was never going to get near it. But those third-party deals, let's be honest, they're very grey part of football back then when you had Juddy. Remember the Juddy? He was paid $250,000 a year by Visi to be face of an environmental recycled cardboard puzzle.
I was investigating what Judd had done for Visi to earn this money. I'd never seen him on an advert. I'd never seen him in a story publicly. I went on the Visi website and there was one photo of Judd. So I wrote a story. What is this man doing to get paid? And the AFL let it. Then the AFL stopped it, mate.
Yeah.
The AFL absolutely stopped it.
But they only stop it when it's exposed.
I know, it's weird.
No, it's not weird. It's weird. It's a pattern of behaviour.
What about your third-party agreements?
Eh? Well, they're below the threshold.
Frank.
What did you know? How did you know Frank?
Everyone who didn't know Frank, and you've been listening to everyone talk about Frank, some of you people might be saying to yourself, "Really? Was he that good of a person?" Well, he was, because no one talks about people like this anymore. Everyone you've listened to, it's from the heart.
Yeah.
You know, and people are running out of those beautiful words to describe this man, and I'm the same. I describe him as a beautiful man. He was respectful to me and treated me so well as a journo. He owned this old church in East Melbourne.
Did he?
Beautiful old church.
What is a house?
It was like their Melbourne residence.
Oh, right.
And I went and interviewed him there. And you walk in, and it was deathly quiet.
Well, how was his gravelly voice, too?
Yeah, he never smoked either, Frank. You know, everyone said it was smoking with his throat. No, he just had the gravelly voice. And I sat with him, and I was really good mates with Tim Cleary, his son-in-law, married Suze, his daughter. Aaron and Frank knew it, myself and TC were pretty close. And he was just a really, really good man. And you know what he was? He was a very, very rich man, and he loved Geelong, and he loved the Geelong Footy Club, and he did whatever he could to help.
And he delivered 3 premierships, Robbo, to a team that they were called the Handbags, and they were... How long had it been, that premiership drought?
53, was it?
Pretty long.
53, I think it was.
And Bomber Thompson, speaking of people who have been chewed up and spat out by the AFL, he spoke with that love of Frank Costa on 3AW on the weekend. Because the review, remember the famous 2006 review?
Yeah.
When they could have sacked him. And Frank was the guy who said, no, let's have the review and let's stand by him. And as Bomber said, I don't think we would have won those premierships if I'd been sacked.
Did Bomber Thompson's quotes get in the Herald Sun?
I didn't see, but... Yeah,
you're on air with him. Why didn't you...
Well, you want me to then transcribe it and send it through?
Well, it's your job, isn't it?
To transcribe?
Well, write a story about it.
Why didn't you do it? I was working.
What were you? Anyway, where were you working?
When? On Sunday. We had Bomber on AW, and he said those things I've just relayed to you.
And then when were you working after that?
Oh, my God.
What were you doing? Were you doing the boundary?
Yeah.
Third-party agreement.
You idiot. Oh, my God.
I was doing the tackle, mate.
Oh, yeah. Has that got a sponsor?
So. KFC, I think, sponsors the tackle.
And then, of course, the shocking news about Sam Newman's wife passing away, age 50. That was just horrendous story.
Yeah, it was. It was. I know Sam a little bit. I've known Sam on and off. He's been a...
You went on his podcast this year.
I've been on it twice. He's been a prick to me before.
I had a crack. You do bring a lot of that on yourself, though.
I had a crack. Oh, well, no worries. I had a crack around the footy show, and I called him a racist and bigot and all around the Adam Good stuff. And anyway, we sort of thrashed that out. Sam's a very engaging person. I don't agree with his politics and stance a lot, and Tony Shaw said this as well. But I don't wipe people just because they've got a different opinion to me than I've got. So, yeah, it was incredible.
Well, that's where footy can be so good. As a footy clubs in the community, you know. God, I remember one of my best mates at the Pirates when his dad died, and his dad had been a good servant of the club, and it's just a great place for people who have got pain in their lives.
Footy clubs
can be very special place.
It's
one of the reasons we love the game of Australian rules. It's one of the reasons I get so angry when I see Australian rules being vandalised. Now, I want to ask you about Port Adelaide, because they've put in two stinkers out of seven.
Yeah, I'm not off them yet. I'm not off them. I mean, this... We're all,
you must be. We can, you must have all, a asterisk. I mean, you wrote Richmond off. You must be prepared to write off Port Adelaide.
What's the time?
We've got to go in 5 minutes, but just give me your assessment.
I'm not off Port Adelaide. They've had two bad games on the road, West Coast over there, then Brisbane on the weekend. I pick Brisbane. I think Brisbane have got it over Port Adelaide. Everyone's got a bogey team.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a bogey team.
Richmond's got their bogey team this weekend. Geelong.
17 clubs have got bogey teams, and that's Richmond.
Do you listen to Dr. Hoyne?
Who's Dr. Hoyne?
Hoyney, champion day.
I speak to Hoyney 3 times a week.
Okay, so you're a client, a patient of Dr. Hoyne. His theory on Port Adelaide with his great podcast with Kingy about how they're scoring.
Do they call him Dr. Hoyne?
Dr. Hoyne.
How long have they been doing that?
Kingy's coined him that. About how they score from the back half team. We don't. These are the territories that we stray into on this podcast. But similar, like to Carlton and Essendon, the way that they
they're a back half scoring team.
So you've got that factor, and these two stinkers that they've put in.
Mm-hmm.
Tigers almost got them at home too.
Are you writing off Port Adelaide? Can Port Adelaide win the premiership this year?
They won't win it.
So that's a no.
They won't win it from what I've seen, no.
So who are we down to?
They're hard to beat at home.
Yeah, you know, if they finish top four or top two and they get home finals, it's very difficult.
That prelim last year was
cracking,
epic, as you saw. If you haven't seen the video of Hardwick and Hinkley mic'd up in that game, it is
incredible. How do they find it? How do the people find it?
Google is where I start when I'm looking for things.
No, but what did you type in?
It's on the AFL website, I think.
Is it? Yeah, mate, so, it was fantastic to watch. Anyway, I've got to go.
Fair enough.
I've got to go.
Where are you off to?
I'm going to the Red Emperor.
Okay.
For a spot of lunch and catching up with a footy person.
Well, you enjoy that. And we'll
Where are you off to?
I'm going to have lunch with a mate of mine, Sammy Farah.
Was he a pirate?
He was a pirate. He only played 90-odd games, but he can take a hanger.
Could he? Not a legend like you.
He's a bit of an out wide wingman. No, he was a good player. But
I'm not saying he was an outside player, but he did get run over by a car.
All right.
See you, pal.